Don't lie now, tell the truth. You checked your Facebook or your Instagram before you played this podcast. Come on now, be honest. I know, I do it too. We all do it. It's everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, social media. And we talk about this, but we don't really get into the conversation and the question, are we part of the social media disease? On Dave Kinchin Tonight. Love that little funky guitar lick in there on that. That's quite a nice selection for some different theme music for a sort of podcast within a podcast. Really, we're launching the On Life series where we get into things that are no longer really just politics and, you know, the things we talk about on this show, politics, hard news, sometimes sports, broadening the horizons a little bit because, you know, this show works really just as well as a casual conversation as it does when we're reporting this. William Barr, the Attorney General, was found in contempt of Congress by the House Judiciary, you know, that sort of thing. And we're coming to you on a Thursday night in the lovely downtown Philadelphia, so you can hear all of that around us. And the studio is actually nice and cool, so we don't really need to. Sometimes it's either too cool or it actually gets really hot, so you have to turn the AC on. But, you know, we're good now. We're really good, and we're going NPR style with the voice kind of like this. How about that? A fireside podcast style chat. No, I'm kidding. I've been thinking a lot about this topic, and by the way, what we'll cover on this show is just, you know, the On Life series is really a show. It's topics on life. It's, you know, things we see. You know, we'll get into relationships. We'll get into work-life balance. We'll get into spirituality in a way where I'm not preaching to anybody, of course, but we'll talk about, we'll get into that in certain ways. Again, exploring certain things, not to be preachy in any sort of way. This show really is based in observation. Yes, analysis, but it's done in a fair way. It's done in a balanced way. Just like the last show we did when we talked about the situation, the pro-life demonstrators outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic and a state representative who had a really verbal and heated clash with them. We reported on both sides of that, had audio from both sides. So we lay things out that way. But it's not just about that. We talk about all sorts of things. I was thinking about this because, you know, I was looking at my screen time and I was alarmed by how much I don't even want to say, but I spend a lot of time on my phone or even online or my laptop, whatever. And it just occurred to me, you know, so much of that is focused on social media. Now, for what I do for the podcast purposes, you know, we are on social media. By the way, you can find us at Dave Kinchin USA on Twitter and at Kinchin Tonight for the official page and follow it. Everybody follows my personal Twitter page at Dave Kinchin USA. And that's fine. We want you to do that, but also follow our show page. It was easier to just have two pages there because when we do the Rock of my personal Twitter, basically I talk about, you know, news reporting, anything I'm reporting on, that's on there. And then we also talk about music. I interact with music fans and musicians on there. And that's why we also use that for the Rock of Nations with Dave Kinchin podcast. But then it made more sense to have a show like this that a Twitter page for this show because that's much more just daily observation, news, talk, format, that type of thing too. And of course on Facebook. I'm talking more about Instagram and Facebook, I think, on this show, so I can do one plug for our Facebook page, Dave Kinchin Tonight on Facebook. So yes, I realize I'm part of the problem. Yes, I'm part of the problem. I know. you know, social media is obviously necessary. It's a great way to keep up with friends. It's a great way to For me, as a journalist, it's a great way to communicate news to people. And it's important. It's a critical source for news. Unfortunately, it's also a source of fake news, and we always have to be very careful to extra careful in vetting that. That's a whole different debate, a whole different show that we may or may not do. Well, probably. In some ways, I think we've already done it. But the question is, when does social media go too far? When is the number of likes and comments, just and pictures we see of lifestyles or purported lifestyles a little bit too much? We live in a time. One of the things I've found is that people today are very, and I, especially millennials, but I'm 36, so people are in my age group too. They're so focused on creating an image. That, gosh, trying to get into this. There's so many ways to get into this topic, and usually we just let it rip, and I think that's what we'll do tonight. I've been, found myself. Having a hard time connecting with certain people, friends or people I meet, or sometimes even, as a single person in a major, in a big city, as a, when I go out on dates, once in a while. And because I found that what you see or, in terms of communication with the person and talking with the person, whether it's friendship, whatever it is, whatever the interaction, it doesn't always match the person you see online. I'll give you an example. One example is this show. You might have seen it. It's one of the Netflix shows. Is it called Single in New York? I forget the name of it, but the first show, I think there was only one season that was po that posted. I saw this a few weeks back, actually about a month and a half ago. And there's a guy named, I think he's named Luke, skinny guy, Caucasian, slim, was wearing a white t-shirt, sport coat, and jeans, going out on a bunch of dates. And he went out with this one young lady who seemed very nice. She was known for being a little bit clumsy, and she said that she was clumsy on the show. I think her name was Victoria. I can't remember. I don't think that was her real name anyway. I'm doing this off of memory, but anyhow, and she seemed, she did have, she admitted that she was, had kind of a clumsy personality and was not very, didn't, was very, but was very down to earth and just fun loving and laughed a lot and, was very laid back, a very laid back personality and did not take life very seriously. Well, then you go to their Instagram page because you're curious about the people on the cast, and the pictures don't. I mean, and again, I don't know this person. I saw a version of this person on TV, very humble. Then I, Instagram pictures that, seem very in your face modeling, which is there's nothing wrong with that, but the demeanor and the expressions and things going on, it had a very much like a kind of a what is it? A very cocky personality or presence. Now, maybe that's the real personality, or, and this is just my opinion. I'm not, like I said, this is just my take, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with being a cocky, full of yourself person either, necessarily. Then again, maybe it depends on the situation. So the question that I had, and I bring this up because my question is, who was this person? Was this person the, was this person the laid back, silly, don't take much too seriously, although we've only seen them in a half hour show person? Or was this somebody who is very much, high society, super, super, super confident, takes everything way serious, and can you keep up, It's just a bus behind us, by the way. We always have, it's there's always a, an interesting element about doing this show. I mean, if I lived in the country area, then it probably would be different, where it'd be very, very quiet. But I like the city atmosphere. I like all that. But it's just part of the. It really is kind of part of the show. Because we like to be around people, and that's what happens also when you're working on a downtown street. So anyway, that if you hear that beeping from time to time, it's the buses moving through And possibly some people listening to the last podcast we did on that bus right now. Or maybe not. It sounds good, though. But the question is, when is that, you know, when is that, when do things cross a line? What is that line anyway? Especially when we have people who start to feel bad about their own lives because it looks like somebody has something more than they do. Someone's in better shape or someone, you know, has a better set of friends or whatever people think this may mean, or somebody is looks like they have more money or more cars or whatever than someone else, and it turns out that might not even be true. I remember I was looking at some pictures. I'm a guitar guy. I love looking at guitars on Instagram, and there was a guy who had somewhere in Europe who had five Les Paul Customs sitting on a couch, you know, three what they call Black Beauties, is the black ones, with the white binding on them, and you've seen the pictures, you've seen the guitars. If you've seen Peter Frampton, you know, play, he plays one Slash, but it's a more souped up version of that guitar, and you know, those guitars are very expensive, especially if they're rare. You know, the more rare ones are the reissues, the 56 reissues and the 57s, 58s, the R9s. All of those are very expensive generally. And I started thinking, gosh, you know, and it looked like a young guy, and I started thinking, huh, well, it's possible this young person owns all of those, and I'm thinking, man, you know, that'd be nice. I wasn't, like, super envious or anything, but I did kind of think, gee, you know, well, you know, it's on my list, you know, my set of goals, to get one of those at some point. But then I took a closer look at the profile, and he works for a music store. And so it was, you know, and at least the description on the profile. Now, it's possible that this was a couch in a part of the, you know, a lot of music stores you go to, they have an area where you can just jam, you plug in the instruments and you can play. So maybe he picked up these instruments that somebody else was selling and he set them on the couch and took a picture. I don't know. He didn't necessarily position it as his or not. And if they are his, great. You know, if they're not, they're not. It's no big deal either way. But I found myself getting caught up in that feeling where, you know, no, it didn't make me feel too bad or anything, but I started thinking, you know, that's something they have and I don't, and man, I really want one of those. Well, the good news is I was thinking, you know, it makes me work harder and plan so that I can do the work and acquire, you know, that goal. So in a way it was a booster for me, but it was also something that I recognized. I was looking at something on social media and it was impacting my thought process about my own life. And sometimes it works in a very negative way for people, you know, as we know. You know, we see somebody, like, you know, maybe you see your ex boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, whoever, and they have a picture with somebody and it looks like their life is fantastic. And you think, oh, you know, I could have had that. That could have been me, right? How many people have been there? Oh, what if that's just total crap? Which about is as close as I get to cursing on the show, by the way. When you're a trained broadcast pro, and you have a microphone in front of you, you never curse or go anywhere near that. So crap is about, I don't even think they let me say that on TV, but you know, but that's about as far as we go. With that, unless I'm really angry now. But I think, for me at least, I look at, you know, it's easy to get caught up in that. And it could turn out that, you know, that relationship might be on rocks. They had one nice time, you know, when they took a picture in Rome or something, right? But then they had this major falling out, or it turns out that, you know, somebody in that relationship isn't faithful, and or who knows what's going on, but what you see isn't the real deal, isn't the real picture. But we take those images into our minds, and you know, that's all we see, and we process that. You know, Healthline has an interesting article in the United States Today. This article says you're statistically more likely to use social media than not by By a lot, approximately 77% of all Americans have a social media profile of some kind. Now, the article here says, does it cause depression? Well, it quotes a study out of the Journal of Social and Clinical Psychology. And the study concludes that there is, in fact, a causal link between the use of social media and negative effects on well-being, primarily depression and loneliness. This is again from a Healthline.com article. The quote here: "What we've found overall is that if you use less social media, you are actually less depressed and less lonely, meaning that the decreased social media use is what causes the qualitative shift in your well-being," said Jordan Young, a co-author of the paper and senior at the University of Pennsylvania. So really, right down the street from here. Well, about oh, I don't know. I could take the subway from here and take me 20 minutes. The quote continues, prior to this, all we could say was that there is an association between using social media and having poor outcomes with well-being. Now, sometimes these studies say, no blank, right? Of course that's accurate. Of course there's a link, or there's a study that says smoking is bad for you. And I'm not putting that study down. I'm just saying sometimes the conclusions we have can say something that's completely different, or that's completely obvious. Sometimes it might be a bit different. But I think what happens is we know this to likely be true, but then we just throw that out of our mind and we scroll up to the next thing, or scroll down to the next thing on Facebook or Instagram or any of these apps, But now we're starting to see the science, and that's just one study, of course, but there is other evidence out there where we're starting to see more of that coming true. So when do you unplug? That's the other thing. Even being a news person myself, I find that I have to unplug. I have to get away from it. The blue light, for one, can keep me up. If I am too busy online on my iPad or whatever. But sometimes you'd rather not see something, and then something comes up, and you're like, "Oh, okay, well, that's cool. I didn't really want to see that, but it's that's just all of us. I think that's probably for all of us. You don't always want to see everything that's out there, but then again, there's part of us that does want to see that. When we unplug, I think it's a personal choice. It's a personal thing, but unplugging is important. And, I think the study makes sense, studies like that say, the more you are able to pull back from social media, the better off you are. The other thing is, we don't really interact anymore. And if you think about, social media, an extension of that might be some of these social apps, these apps where you can make friends, or even these dating apps where people, your head's, it adds to your screen time, and your head's in your phone much, much longer even. And then even that's a whole different level of wondering what's real out there and what's not. But what I've found, what I've seen, and again, going back to having a hard time connecting, is that we don't allow the soul to breathe. When you're on social media, when you're so consumed with media, not just TV shows and on demand and this and that, and yes, podcasts, but keep listening, please. It's very important that you keep listening. Now, again, it's hard to talk about this stuff when you're part of the medium, and you are a part of it. I don't think necessarily part of the problem, like I said before, in realistic terms, but you're part of what's going on in a way. But I have noticed it's hard for people to connect. People don't connect as much anymore. When you have a conversation, how often do you go from looking a person in the eyes as you're talking to them to maybe looking around the room and back to your phone and wondering if there's a message, or you didn't turn your phone off and it's in your pocket and it vibrated? And knowing me, in my case, it's a news alert. It's something from the AP, or it's something from Fox or CNN or whatever it might be. But how often do we do that? We do that all the time. So it affects our attention span, and our attention spans are much shorter anyway. I think with this rise of the so what I call the social media disease, this is my terminology. Maybe somebody, and by the way, maybe somebody else has made this up. It's just something that popped into my head. So if it is somewhere else, I didn't get it from them. I just happened to think of the same thing and, whatever. So just so we're clear on that. It's just something I call it. I just woke up one day and said, oh, it feels like a social media disease. So now we have a hard time building relationships with people. When I was in college, and this is going way back, when I was in college, Instant Messenger was a big thing. And this was my freshman year, sophomore year. We were in the dorms up at Michigan State University. And, the way college life works is at least at there, you walk down the hallway and people would drop in. If your door is open, people would just drop in and say, hey, how's it going? What's going on? Well, once Instant Messenger became this really big thing, which is around that time, people, you could hear the doo-doo, doo-doo, you could hear that the messages going off. But nobody was really visiting anybody. They were messaging the person three doors down, or they were messaging somebody like next door even. And I always get like, I've been in situations where I would message somebody, I would hit the button, enter, and then I'd hear the doo-doo on their thing, and they'd either respond, or if they didn't respond, I'd go, hey, what's going on? And they find out they weren't there, but like that's how bad it was then, back in what, 2001, 2002. Now, I mean, I can't imagine what kids are doing in college. They have other Snapchat, other systems they use. But that social connection is gone. That fabric is gone. And I think you have two fronts here. You have the one where people don't pay attention enough to each other anymore, so you really have a hard time getting to know someone because you're not listening to them. You're looking at your phone. The other part of it is you realize that what you do listen to and take in, what you do pay attention to, doesn't, like we talked about, doesn't connect with what you see online. And there's many more extreme cases. I mean, we all can relate to, I think, something like that. So yes, it's really up to us as individuals to unplug. We have to police ourselves. But Instagram and some other apps, they're taking a step towards that. The Washington Post reports this, and this came out just a few days ago. Instagram will test hiding the number of likes and views that photos and videos receive, a central aspect to its platform of its platform to rein in competitive tendencies and make the experience a little less pressurized. Instagram's head, Adam Mosseri, I think is how you pronounce it, said the change is designed to minimize the stress of posting online where users can fixate on how many likes their videos draw. Quote, we want people to worry a little bit less about how many likes they're getting on Instagram and spend a little bit more time connecting with people that they care about. So we're getting to a point where these companies, this is just halfway through the article. Let me continue on. In a test run, which will roll out in Canada this week, the Facebook-owned site will display user posts as it would normally, but people scrolling through the feed won't see like counts. Account owners will still be able to check the tallies on their own photos and videos by clicking through a prompt. Mosseri said, the experiment is part of a broader effort to rethink the fundamentals of how Instagram works and create a more welcoming experience. The company also is testing a redesigned profile page that de-emphasizes follower counts. Quote, we don't want Instagram to feel like a competition. We want to make it a less pressurized environment. Well, maybe some competition with the horn situation you just heard there. Again, it gets crazy downtown, but most people are good downtown. Even though they're on social media and maybe part of the social media disease and impacted by it. See how we tie everything back? Okay. So here we have the companies feeling this pressure. Now, Instagram, do they have a guilty conscience? I don't know. Am I saying they do? No. But I'm asking the question, which is what I do sometimes here. Okay, well, it's what I do for a living. We ask the questions. But it is interesting that this dynamic is so extreme, the pressures of social media and keeping up and everything else, especially for people who have modeling pictures or, well, wait a minute, how come their life seems more interesting than mine and all this stuff, that they're starting to scale it back a little bit. Now, you have people who make money off of social media as what they call, and I just heard this term, I'm still sort of a guy from 1998, I feel like sometimes on social media in 2019, influencers. I heard this, now it was a few months back. I said, what is it? What is an influencer? Well, it's anybody with a lot of followers. Well, that's a lot of people who have a lot of followers. And by the way, we don't know how many of those followers are real. Remember, Twitter went through a purge and kicked off a lot of fake profiles and that sort of thing. So we don't know how many of those are real on all these other platforms. But that's their livelihood. There was a soundbite I heard of one social media influencer saying, well, this is my life. This is how I make a living. What am I supposed to do? I don't have any other skills or something like that. Who was that? That was a bite. It was in the news somewhere. Anyway, off the top of my head, but not something I necessarily paid too much attention to at the moment, obviously, but it's telling now. And that's the kind of thing that you worry about, people who made their life on looking pretty or modeling or doing whatever, and that's all great, but if that's all they have or that's all that's really in their life, the soul doesn't really develop or has a harder time doing that. It would just seem that way. Just again, casual observations here. But it really is something when you have, and this has been connected to mental health, and I think there's been even some reported suicides over, the social media pressures of young people, especially teenagers. I can't imagine being a parent right now and having a kid in middle school or high school, and the pressures combined with bullying. I mean, it's you mix in bullying, social media bullying, whatever, the rumors that people put out there about folks. And, if you're already feeling like your life isn't where you want it to be online, well, holy cow. I mean, that's a potentially deadly combination. And so some people might say it's a good thing to see Instagram stepping up and doing that. Other people might say, and there's other people that might say, we should stop having corporations patrolling our kids. This should be something left up between families and their parents. And that's an argument too that's also out there. Is this part of, okay, some people, it's not really what necessarily some would call the nanny state, but it's people saying, well, why is culture policing our kids instead of our parents doing that? That's what some might say. It's just kind of the other side of it. But it is certainly telling of the problem. There's no, I mean, this was a big thing. Like, this was not a small move. In any other time in history, that would be something that would be a talker for a few days. And it was, but a big talker. But these days, with so much else going on, oh, okay, that's interesting. Wow, that means a lot. And then we move on to the next thing on Instagram or wherever else. So, I mean, nobody can really tell you what to do, when to get off of social media. I mean, I'm certainly not here to tell anybody anything like that, but I do think, I know from my own life, I have a delicate balance of that. I use social media mostly for news and music, and that's pretty much it. And talking about sports, but it's really just news. But for every other people, it's totally different, and you do have to ask that question. When is it too much? Because sometimes it can simply be too darn much. Right, so now that we've established all of that, I'm going to be live tweeting your reactions to this podcast as you're listening to. No, I'm. Which I can't do because it's not a live show. You know what's funny? This used to be a live show. I did this show, we were on the Now Live Network. This was when podcasting for it was not even it was a you could do a live internet radio show, which is what this was, with some good friends, my Nick and Gavin, and we changed the name of the show a couple times. But anyway, we started doing this around 2006, 2007. And then after you were done live, it would turn into a podcast. And, we could do live interaction. I don't know if it was Twitter. I don't think Twitter was even around then, or maybe it was, but it was a really basic thing. But you could sort of have that kind of, or you could have the interaction in a chat room. But so no, we won't be doing any live tweeting. But we do want to hear from you on Twitter, on the very same applications that we, I won't say we were too critical, but we put them under a microscope and we examined them and I analyzed them. You know, that's what this show is. It's one big microscope, you know, with the slides here as papers, you know, I don't know. It's been a long day, but it's great to be doing this show. It's a pleasure to be doing this again after all these years, to come back to it and to interact in a different way via podcasting, to reach so many more people than we did even way back then. Some good friends in Michigan who still remember that show and they're listening, but also people all around the world, you know, grateful for you. Also grateful for our other show, Rock of Nations with Dave Kinchin, which we will be back with a couple of episodes this weekend, talking about some great rock and roll covers, some other rare collaborations in music that people don't really talk a whole lot about. We'll talk about that too. So this is Dave Kinchin Tonight and the On Life series, where this is a podcast on life, where we talk about life and everything else. So again, we're on Twitter and we're on Facebook and all the other social media apps. Boy, I feel guilty saying that after 30 minutes of the microscope. But anyway, my friends, again, it's all about moderation, not telling you what to moderate or how to do it. But it seems that more and more people are doing that a little bit, because it's the ticket to a happier life, from what we hear in some research and just other daily observations. We will be in touch again soon. It's Dave Kinchin Tonight. Have a good night or good morning or whatever time it is, wherever you are, whenever you are listening.